I don't know why I survived all those overdoses, but I plan on helping as many people as I can.
I think we can't define success as just a decrease in the number of people dying.
I've cried over it. I mean, over people I don't even know.
I think that all my friends are dead, and the ones that aren't found recovery.
Ohio has one of the highest rates of opioid overdose deaths in the country. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, in 2017, more than 4,000 people died of an opioid overdose in the state. That's 2.5 times the national average. It's become a public health crisis that's left the state scrambling to respond. But some cities in Ohio have been successful in combating the crisis, partly because of expanded availability of naloxone, or Narcan, the so-called overdose reversal drug. And that means more people are living after an overdose. But the big question is, what comes next for those people? This week, you'll hear from two women we met in Ohio. Both survived opioid overdoses in the last year, and each shares their story of overdose and what came after. It's a series we're calling Life After Overdose. The Takeaway's Alexandra Boti brings us the first piece of the story.
I'm in Dayton, Ohio, in the western part of the state. Here, everybody knows the Melody Diner. I'm meeting 25-year-old April Arian and her mom, Lori.
My name is Lori Arian. I'm a person in long-term recovery from my substance use disorder. And what that means is I haven't had a drink or drug for almost 13 years.
I'm April. I'm her daughter. I've been struggling with my own addiction since I was 16, so that's almost 10 years.
This is Montgomery County, a part of the state that's been one of the hardest hit by the opioid crisis, and also the county with the biggest success story. Overdose deaths have plummeted here, down almost 50% between 2017 and 2018. That's thanks to things like Medicaid expansion in the state, more cooperation between police and community organizations, and less carfentanil on the street. That's a deadly synthetic opioid. But April, who was in active addiction when we spoke, told me she's not really seeing those changes.
For me, I have Narcan. A lot of people, I have like a lot of PTSD from it. From people going blue.
About half of people struggling with drug addiction will overdose and survive at least once. Even more will witness an overdose by someone else. April's experience giving Narcan to her friends is why she knew exactly what had happened to her when she recently overdosed. It was the first time someone had needed to save her life.
But so when I woke up and I saw like that the room was trashed and my purse was turned upside down and there was somebody in front of me that was crying and like looking like really like just like scared and panicked, and he was like white as a ghost. Like I knew what had happened, but like most people, I think when they wake up in an overdose, they don't really know what has happened, but only because I had seen it so many times. Like did I realize that my purse was turned over and everything was thrown everywhere because he was looking for the Narcan. He was trying to get it out of the box. He was trying to get it out of the package. He was trying to get it into my body. He was moving me, trying to do chest compressions on me. My chest hurt when I woke up. And I was just really scared, and I was really sick. I think that was the first thing that I said after I was crying for like over 15 minutes straight. And I said I was sick, and he asked me what I wanted, and I said I didn't know. And he asked me if I wanted more dope, but I just was like, no. Because I knew that it would go away. But it like doesn't go away when you keep using and you start waking up sick. But that was like the first moment of like clarity I've probably like ever had in my whole addiction where I thought about it like that. So, I don't know.
As the opioid epidemic exploded in the U.S., Narcan, the brand name for the drug naloxone, became a first line of defense against deaths. The drug is available without a prescription in 46 states currently, including across Ohio. Here, you can find Narcan at Walgreens. Police officers in your neighborhood are likely to have it on hand in their cars. And free trainings on how to use Narcan are everywhere.
I was laying in bed one night asking myself, what can I do to help her? And it came to me, give her all the Narcan you have.
Lori, April's mom, is the founder of a group called Families of Addicts, based out of Dayton. Families of Addicts provides free Narcan trainings. At a recent meeting, Lori got a refill of Narcan and gave it to April.
And I'm pretty sure that's a Narcan that saved her life.
Yeah, that one's a Narcan used on me.
Yeah, it might have been helpful if I would have taken it out of the plastic bag and out of the box and all that. But nonetheless, she had it.
I know a lot of people think that addicts are out here running around with Narcan and thinking that they can, you know, use more or use anyway because they're going to be Narcan, quote, back to life. But in my experience, it's not like that at all. People that I use with, like, beg people not to Narcan them before they use. They'll say, you know, don't Narcan me if I go out because once you get Narcan, you're really sick. I mean, deathly sick.
But the physical experience of overdose is just one piece of this story.
I've experienced some guilt over it, you know, some shame.
4 hours northeast of Dayton is the Women's Recovery Center in the Stockyard neighborhood of Cleveland.
Hi there. Hi, I'm Alex.
Hi. I'm here with Lauren Hamilton.
I'm 41 years old.
Today, Lauren is a practicing attorney, and Cleveland is her home city. Here, opioid overdose deaths declined about 20% between 2017 and 2018. But it's complicated. Many more people are still dying than before the crisis took hold here, and officials are worried about a recent spike in fentanyl mixed with crack cocaine.
Over the course of, I guess, 3 years, I overdosed 11 times.
Lauren remembers some of those 11 overdoses more clearly than others, like the very first.
I remember waking up. The first overdose, the police broke into my house and found me about 18 hours after I had overdosed. So I didn't respond to Narcan. My blood pressure was like 50 over 20. My kidneys had shut down and my lung had collapsed. So I was in a coma for 3 days, I believe. I was in intensive care for 5 days. And I remember waking up in intensive care. And my family had no idea at that point that I was even using these drugs, and you know, they were all around me, and it was absolutely terrifying.
3 years later, Lauren overdosed again. After using heroin, she was revived with Narcan by police.
I was laying on a stretcher at Metro Health Hospital in the emergency room, and they didn't put me in a room, they just had me laying on a stretcher in the hallway, and a police officer was standing across the room, and I saw him make eye contact with me, and he walked across the room and leaned down so he was at the level of the stretcher, looked me in the eye and told me that I was junkie scum and that I should be taken off or put on the do not Narcan list. You know, that moment to be disrespected by another human being like that, what he said to me and the message that he was conveying to me, that is how I felt. That's how I felt about myself. You know, and to realize that that's how other people saw me as well just wasn't a good feeling.
The stigma of overdose is something I heard about again and again when traveling the state.
I've cried over it, you know. I mean, over people I don't even know. It's absolutely horrible. I think about people who have overdosed and died who have children. I don't have any children. I think about people who overdosed, you know, maybe just having used heroin a couple times. But ultimately, you know, we're all in the same boat. We're all the same, and I'm just grateful to be here.
That was The Takeaways, Alexandra Boti reporting from Ohio. We'll hear more of Lauren and April's stories of life after overdose and about Ohio's fight against opioids over the next few days. You can find the series at thetakeaway.org/lifeafteroverdose. And that's all for us today. Remember, you can listen back to anything on our podcast, and you can find that on Spotify or iTunes or at thetakeaway.org. I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway, and we'll see you tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.